Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 24. Right now, let's go up to the throne of the Lord. And priests, we're a nation of priests, are supposed to be holy, or there's no way that you can communicate to the Lord. That means you have to be covered in the blood of Jesus from morning until evening. The priests had an offering of a young lamb in the morning and one in the evening, which is significant of being covered in the blood and making sure you get up purified and that you go to sleep purified, because you cannot be a priest of the Lord. You cannot be a nation of priests or a member of the nation of priests or a member of the body of Christ if there's any sin on your soul, if you are not pure and clean. And there's a lot of people in this world that don't believe that. And that's why the Lord said there's a lot of people going to hell. Lord, bless chapter 24 into our spirits. Give us, through your word, which is loaded, which is spirit and life, let it give us the strength to stand another day. Let your word, you said that we're washed, we're made pure, by the washing of the Word of God. Our sins are taken away, are washed away in the blood of Jesus, but our souls are kept clean by the Holy Spirit, which is signifies the oil, the washing, the water, the Word. So, Lord, wash us as we read your Word and as it's explained to us by the Spirit. Let it wash and purify our souls, because the nation of priests, every member of a nation of priests must be holy, or they're cut off from the community. Lord, we ask all these things, and we ask that you bind every demonic thing on the face of this earth, every demonic spirit that claims that they're Christians and are not, Lord, that are wanton, that live by their desires rather than by the Spirit. I ask, Lord, that you and those that are of the Lord ask that you bind this demonic spirit, these seducing spirits, here in this, right now, in heaven, so that it's bound here on earth. And they are discontinued because they're extremely bad examples in the church and have caused people to fall away. Lord, rebuke these evil ones, these spirits. Bind them on earth as we are binding them on earth now in prayer. And Lord, we expect you to bind them in heaven, because we know that your word is true and your promises are true. And we ask this, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Exodus chapter 24, King James Version, verse 1. And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron.
See that God makes a difference between the congregation and Moses and Aaron. Aaron had to really keep himself clean because he was the high priest. And God says, I make a difference between you and the common people. Because the priests, and if we're a nation of priests, we are different than the people of the world, because we have to be pure, holy, clean, perfect. And any of these people that say that there's no way that you can be perfect, those people are of the devil, because there couldn't be a nation of priests unless we were holy. And God kept the people, the Levites, the Aaronic and the Levitical priesthood, he kept them so busy sacrificing a lamb in the morning, a burnt offering, and a lamb during the evening, and all to keeping the altar totally cleansed, because that's where the sacrifices go. And no sacrifice is to be made unless it's completely holy. And it's very important for us to know the meanings, to read these things. A lot of people, that's over with. No, they're not, because as far as sacrificing animals. Yes, that's over with. But they all have a significance of what we're doing today spiritually. Even the clothing that the Lord stated later on in Exodus, where he wants beautiful clothing worn by the priests and the priests' sons, Aaron and his sons, because he wanted them to look outwardly perfect and beautiful, beautifully adorned with different clothing. And this is where the Pope is putting on these gorgeous clothes and so on, with these big hats and gowns and everything, because he's trying to symbolize the priesthood, the Old Testament priesthood. But now it's a spiritual thing, and he's so far gone spiritually and without understanding of the Word of God that he's impressing people with what he considers to be embroidered garments, all kinds of and the ephod and the robes and the hats and all these different things. And this doesn't apply anymore, and that just shows just how far, what a lack of the Holy Spirit he has. Because the Lord doesn't look on the outside of the person with the beautiful garments anymore, but to signify or to make a difference between the common people by the beautiful way that they dressed. But now we are dressed in the Holy Spirit. When Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they didn't know that they were naked because they were clothed with righteousness. They had the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to restore humanity back to the way it was originally created. We had the Spirit of the Lord. But after Eve sinned, and then Adam went along with it and sinned himself, the clothing of righteousness was taken away. And now the Lord in the Old Testament made regulations to show that these are my holy people, and they can't even go into the most holy place in the temple unless they're completely pure, because I would kill them. And the Shekinah glory of the Lord was seen there in the temple, and so people knew that they were holy, because if they weren't, they'd die. God said, I'll kill you if you even go into the most holy place without this robe on, and you have to be purified. You have to follow all those different details. But today we cannot get up to the throne of the Lord. A lot of people are faking Christianity. They're saying they're saved, but they know they're not talking to the Lord, and they know the Lord is not talking to them, and they know they're not pure, and they know they're not clean, because they hear all these people saying, well, no one can be perfect or holy. And yet the Lord says, you must be holy or you can't be a priest. Amen?
Amen.
And so therefore, he's telling Moses and Aaron here in this first verse, you know, to approach, come up to the mountain. And Moses, he'll talk to face to face, and there's 70, the Sanhedrin, which is the 70 elders, and some other chosen ones stay back. They still cannot talk face to face with God, because God makes a difference. It's, in democracy, they say everybody is equal, which is the biggest lie going. Because God has sheep and he has goats. He has wheat and he has chaff. He has his chosen people, highly chosen people. And then there's people that are called. Many are called. Yeah, like everyone's called to be saved, but very few are chosen. And God makes a difference between the common person, and the person that doesn't serve the Lord, and the person that does serve the Lord. And they're perfect. They keep their minds on the Lord from the moment that they get up in the morning until the time they go to bed at night. Their mind is on the Lord, and all throughout the day they're thinking of the Lord. There isn't anything more important than God and being right with him, because if you're not, there's no way to enter the kingdom of heaven. So in this first verse, he's showing again, over and over again throughout the scriptures, that there's a vast difference between Moses and all the others. And then there's a tremendous difference between the Moses, Aaron, his sons, and some of these other people like Joshua. And her and all the other people in the Sanhedrin, the 70 elders, and the common people. But Moses was preferred, highly chosen, and so was Aaron, because Aaron was the chief priest. Okay, go ahead. He was the type of Christ. Moses was a type of God. Aaron was the type of Christ. And God himself said that. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off.
Yeah, worship far off. Now, we're made very nigh. We're not far off. We don't worship the Lord far off. If you're really one of the priests, the kingdom of priests, a whole kingdom, a nation of priests, we're very nigh to the Lord because His Spirit is in us and we're in Him. And so we have to realize that. We have to come to the realization. Otherwise, we're no more than brute beasts. The mind of a brute beast is out there just in the field chewing its cud, and it doesn't care anything about anything other than that. You're nothing more than, or maybe even less than an animal, if you are not aware of God and the priesthood and sanctification, holiness, purity. All right? So, and also that there's a difference between the highly chosen people of the Lord and then called people, and people that are false brethren. The Lord tells us through His apostle to beware of false brethren, because you will not see them living a holy life. They're not dressed in righteousness. They're not dressed in white linen, not outwardly, but inwardly. We don't dress outwardly anymore. We let God represent Himself in us so that we act different. We don't run with the common people. We keep ourselves holy, but we witness to the common people so that they can go to heaven as well. And it's not our fault that God highly chose whoever He has, or myself. And it's not your fault either if you're just a common person. But common people can be saved. Is a person that is highly chosen different? And the Lord says they are, all right? Now, you may have swallowed this garbage about democracy or whatever, but God says, yes, they are different. They are higher level, because they are ministers unto the Lord. They minister unto the Lord, and they do minister to Him because they have kept themselves clean and holy. People that don't keep themselves clean and holy have no desire to minister before the Lord. They have no desire to talk to Him or for Him to talk to them. So the Lord knows that they don't love Him. And you say, oh, I love the Lord. Yeah, you hear Him saying that all the time. But if there's any impediment in them, any sin, any block, blemish, any spot of sin whatsoever, there's a middle wall of partition between them and the Lord, and there's no communication with one another. And to a person that really loves the Lord, communication is the very best thing of all, because when you can communicate with the Lord, you know you're saved. And you know, this is the greatest feeling in the world, to know that you're right before the Lord, and that the Lord blesses you with his communication to you. And if you don't think that's a blessing, it's only because of the fact you've never had it before, or because you're not righteous. You don't care about the Lord. And I have to admonish you in this respect, that He doesn't care about you either, because you're not doing God any favor. A lot of people say, well, you know, we're not worried, but you better worry as to whether the Lord loves you or not, because if He doesn't, and it's your own fault if He doesn't, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And God tells us that he comes unexpectedly like a thief in the night. And no one knows exactly when he's going to come. When the thief steals, he does it in stealth. He doesn't want people to see him doing it. And the Lord doesn't want people to see him, the wicked, to see him the moment that he's going to come and get him. Okay, so go ahead.
Verse 2, and Moses alone shall come near the Lord.
Yeah, that's quite a difference. The rest can't, but Moses can. Okay, that's the difference. That's not democracy, is it? That's theocracy. That's Godocracy. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him.
But they can't come nigh, but the New Testament says that now because of the Spirit living in us, we're very nigh because we're a nation of priests. So we're very nigh unto the Lord. That is, if you're pure and clean, and you love to talk to the Lord, and you love him to talk to you. But some people just think they just walk real fast back and forth throughout life, wherever they're at, and they act like they're very busy. And you can tell they're just busy doing nothing that amounts to anything eternally. Okay, then what?
And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord.
They themselves said that we don't want to be equal with you, Moses. Let God talk to you, and then you come and tell us what he said. Amen? Because the common person doesn't want to hear from the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
They themselves, the whole nation, said that. I want the Lord to talk to me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Because I know he's powerful, but I know he's good if you're good. If you'll do what he says. Then what else?
And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do.
But don't let him talk to us. You go keep talking to him, and then you come and tell us. And we'll do everything he says. But they didn't. Otherwise, only two of them, the old-timers, were the only ones that made it into the promised land. The rest of them all, their carcasses were on the desert. Only the young ones were able to enter the promised land. The sons and daughters that would obey. Then what?
And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right, now the Lord made on the breastplate of the priests, he made them, there was 12 stones there, 4 rows of 3 stones, and he had the name of each tribe of Israel there, so that Aaron, the priest, and so that all the people in the congregation could remember that this is Israel. This is the nation of Israel. And people that are in the New Testament here have to have this written in their hearts. Because we are Israel now. Not Israel, not all Israel is Israel, the Bible says. But those that serve the Lord are Israel. Those that are the nation of priests. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to remember all these different tribes and in the order that they were born. So to remember the boundaries that the Lord has given us wherein we can walk. We can't cross the boundaries. We can't sin. And we must communicate with the Lord because he's very nigh to those, and therefore we can all approach. Not like these people here, where only Moses could go and talk to God, but we can all boldly, because we're priests, because of the Spirit, because of we're cleansed with the Word, we can approach the throne boldly and bring our petitions, because God is not arbitrary anymore. We know exactly what he wants, and so there's no guesswork with it. That is, if we read the Bible. He wants to hear from us, and he wants to communicate back to us, because we're living in very dangerous and perilous times, and he wants to warn us of certain things that we're doing that are wrong, because he wants us to stay clean, because he can't go against his word. If we're at all filthy, if there's any filth on us at all, we can't enter heaven. It's plain and clear. And all these things here in the Old Testament are just yellings strongly out to us that this is Old Testament, but this is all symbolic of that which he wants us to do today, to live in the Spirit, to walk not after the flesh, but in the Spirit, because we're a nation of priests, and the priests must be holy. Go ahead then.
Verse 5, and he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord.
Now these offerings are ourselves, and they can't be with blemish or sin on us. We have to offer ourselves. And offerings, they went in whole, and they were cut in pieces and brought to a heap of ashes, in that we can't be any more of ourselves. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that you are not your own? You don't belong to yourself anymore. If you give yourself as an offering to the Lord, you're his to use the way he commands for us to be used by him in his word. His word tells us how he wants to use us. His word tells us how he wants us to be. And his word is loaded with is the Holy Spirit. Know ye not that by the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life? These words are life that I'm speaking to you. Eternal life. And so if we keep ourselves in the word, then we have the Spirit. We'll be in the Spirit. Okay? You can feel that when you don't read the word, you're not into the word, well then you don't feel spiritual anymore. Amen? And so the priest has the responsibility of keeping the entire nation of Israel, which now is the New Jerusalem, the real Israel, to keep them spiritual. Now, there can be people sitting in the congregation that are not even listening. The devil has, whenever they hear the word of God, the devil plugs their ears up to where they can't hear these words of life. And you have to be careful to not listen to him, or to just daydream, or to be thinking of something else that you think is more important than receiving the power. Or a lot of people, the Bible says it's grace, but that grace means power. By the grace of God, you can enter the kingdom of heaven. By the power of God, you can enter the kingdom of heaven. By the power of God located in his word, this powerful word, you will stand one day at a time. Don't try to think of it as a year or, oh God, here comes another week or anything. No. Face each day with your sacrifice. Sacrificing yourself to the Lord, and end the day sacrificing yourself to the Lord, and all throughout the day. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 6, and Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar.
Right, because it's all symbolic. He's consecrating the altar. The altar must be pure. And there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And so even all these fine clothes that Aaron and his sons were wearing, they had to be sprinkled with blood too. And they would put take some of the blood and put it on Aaron's earlobe, and then some of it on his thumb, and then some on his big toe, which is symbolic of to anoint this ear, to have a pure ear, to hear the words of God. That's what it symbolized. For your ears to be washed in the blood, and for your hands to do the things that the Lord commands you to do, your right hand, all of you to do that, and for you to walk in righteousness. And the blood covers everything. And even their clothes, they would sprinkle blood on the clothes, and they did it with the sign of the cross, because it's all symbolic of the blood of Christ. Because animals cannot take your sins away forever, and that's why they had to continue sacrificing animals. But when Christ came, he died once, and we're washed clean from our sins, and the Holy Spirit enters us when we receive the Lord, and we have the power then to keep the commandments. We have far more ability to do that than the people in the Old Testament. The Lord hadn't died, come into the world yet, in the flesh, and died on the cross, fulfilled the whole law, and died on the cross, pure, clean, shed his blood, his pure, clean blood, which was a detergent strong enough to take away the most vile sins. Then enter hell, be buried, and then his spirit went to hell for us, in our place, in our stead. And then on the third day he rose from the dead. And then later he ascended into the kingdom of heaven before the eyes of over 500 people. And I can't understand how over 500 people could see him ascend up into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud, and only 120 of them show up on the day of Pentecost. So that's just incredible. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 7, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient.
In other words, he read from the covenant, the deal. That's kind of a deal. The covenant is the deal. And when we get saved, that's the deal. Okay, I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests and kings. Mm-hmm. And now, but you have to make me your God, and I'll be your God, and you have to be my people. And my people are not sinners. There's no sin on their soul, and whoever is on television or in churches or anywhere that tells you that you can sin and still be in the favor of the Lord, they are dirty liars. All right, then go ahead.
And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words.
Right, this is, he made a covenant in his blood. Jesus made this covenant in his blood. You have to be washed in it and keep yourself clean. Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen unto you. What is the worst thing that could happen to you? Is that you would sin after you've been saved and there's no more forgiveness. Now, if it's not a willful sin, you can be forgiven. If it's a sin that you didn't know that it was a sin, that's forgivable. But to know you're sinning and just go ahead and do it without knowing the repercussion, if you don't understand the repercussions of how horrible it is of what you're doing, there's a possibility that you can be forgiven. But now that you know that you must not sin anymore, then don't try it any longer. To willfully sin is death. Okay, then go ahead.
Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Translation verses 1 through 9. Israel accepts the Lord's covenant.
They accept the deal. Let's make a deal, the Lord says, all right? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And if you sin after that, then you're not white as snow. Any sin on snow is like black. Okay, go ahead. It's a spot, a blemish. Not acceptable. Go ahead.
Then the Lord instructed Moses, quote, come up here to me and bring along Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the Israel's leaders. All of them must worship at a distance. You alone, Moses, are allowed to come near to the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful that we all can now?
Yes.
And boldly. You don't have to worry about it. But you have to have faith that that's what the Lord, that's what the Bible says, and you have to do it. Amen?
Amen.
You have to exercise that faith in his word. If you believe that, then come on up. Not come on down, come on up. Amen?
Amen.
Come up here and talk to me, and then you're really going to have faith because you're going to hear me answering you back. And that's going to be a frightening experience to some, but it's a thrill, the most thrilling experience that I ever had in my life is every time the Lord talks to me. That is so thrilling. It is not fearful at all. It's just, I guess it's just in a sense, it is fearful that I should ever not be able to hear from him. That's what I fear, is to just do something wrong to where I would be in trouble with the Lord, to where he wouldn't speak to me any longer. That's what the fear of the Lord means, is that he would withdraw his spirit from you. But never fear the Lord so far as going boldly before him to speak to him, because it's the most wonderful feeling in the world, the most wonderful experience in the world. There's nothing that can even touch it. When I saw the vision of Jesus right before my open eyes, I just thought he was taking me then, and I, when he said, not now, that was the most horrible experience that I've ever experienced in my life, to know that I could not go with him then. So when you see the Lord, or when you're speaking to him, that isn't fear. He looks just like a very handsome man. He just, it's not fearful at all, because we do look just like him. I mean, just like a person. And it's not fearful at all. Yeah, you can look at the person next to you, and if that scares you, then you'll be scared when you see the Lord, all right? Because it's just that, I mean, really, it is just that, just like that. That's what it is, just like that. He looks just like a human being. Boy, when that really brought that scripture home to me, and the Bible where he said, let us make man in our image, let us make man. That's literal. That is absolutely literal. If I look at you, I'm just looking at a human being. And that's what it looks like when you're looking at the Lord. It's fantastic. Fantastic. There's no words to really explain it. And I wanted to go with him because it looks so much better there. Like, here, everything I look at is like dull and made out of dirt. Name something in this world that's not made out of dirt. You're made out of dirt. Yes, and I admit it, I'm made out of dirt. The clothes that you're wearing came out of the ground. The carpet you're walking on came out of the ground. The boards that make your house came out of the earth. The metal, the plastic on your car came out of the earth. Everything is made out of mud. It's a dismal place, but in heaven, everything is like so beautiful and vibrant. And just, it's like horrible to come down here. I'm looking at a row of file cabinets, and on there it looks like a cartoon or something. There's a bunch of disheveled papers lobbing over the sides, and a bunch of papers in front of me here, and here's some papers sticking out that are not neatly filed, and all sorts of, you know, everything is in order in heaven, and it's so, every hair on your head is perfect. Well, you don't even have to comb your hair there, brush your teeth, or anything like that. It's just beautiful. And believe me, when you see the Lord, you would never, and I only saw him for a few seconds, and there's nothing that's been more disappointing to me. I said, Lord, and I felt like he was going to take me up with him. Not yet, not now. You've got some more stuff, things to do. I couldn't hear him that well because he was like a radio. His voice was, he was talking to me, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. It was like a radio going off and on, off and on, off and on, where you can't hear, but just pieces of words. And he was telling me, later I thought of it in my stupid brain, that I'm not reading the Word of God enough, because he later would want me to explain his Word to people so that they could understand it as well. But I always thought, I am nothing, and certainly I'm not going to be anything of the Lord, and I'm nobody to listen to. I am nobody to listen to, but if I'm speaking the Word of God, and you're nobody to listen to either, but if you're speaking the Word of God, you're letting God speak out of your mouth, and he is somebody. Amen?
Amen?
So that's why you have to keep yourself holy, and that's why you have to read this Word, because he wants to use you, very possibly, and I believe he does, as his mouthpiece. You have to learn how to lean on the understanding of the Lord only. So I finally, it's hard because I've been beaten down so hard in my life, in my early life, that my, you know, people around me said, you're never going to amount to anything, you're not going to do this. Or people say, you'll have money, because, but you're never going to be anybody. And it just got ingrained into my brain, but you are, in the Lord, somebody. Amen? Yeah. You're a member of the body of Christ. You are a nation of priests, all of you. And you are somebody, and don't let anyone tell you that you're not. Because if you make a decision to stop thinking the way you do today, you're going to be somebody from this moment on. Never forget that. Because God can do things with little David, King David. He can take him from being a shepherd to make him king. Did the same thing with Saul. And he'd do the same thing with everybody to make you a king and a priest. And really, what were we before? Nothings, amen?
Amen.
But we are in him. In Christ, we can do all things. And you never know what he's going to do with you unless you give yourself completely to him. So give yourself completely to him. You've been holding back. Don't do that anymore. Be a priest, a holy vessel of God. And forget about, oh, say, I've sinned so much I can't ever. No, you did it because you had no understanding. You were like an animal out in the grazing, out in the woods, chewing on bark off a tree, or like munching, chewing your cud, you know, this grass. But now when the Word of God enlightens you, then you're somebody. And just take it and go with it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Sharon was telling me that there was only 18 verses here, so it probably won't be a very long tape. And as well, I think it will be. You never can tell, right? Okay, let's go.
You alone, Moses, are allowed to come near to the Lord. The others must not come too close.
Ah, we can go to them. Okay. We're not like the others. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We're his body. Then what?
And remember, none of the other people are allowed to climb on the mountain at all. When Moses had announced to the people all the teachings and regulations the Lord had given him, they answered in unison, quote, we will do everything the Lord has told us to do, unquote. Then Moses carefully wrote down all the Lord's instructions. Early the next morning.
Yeah, if Moses hadn't carefully done that, then we wouldn't have it to read today. Amen?
Amen.
We wouldn't have all this spiritual food and drink. Then what?
Early the next morning, he built an altar at the foot of the mount. He also set up 12 pillars around the altar, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent some of the young men to sacrifice young bulls as burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half the blood from these animals and drew it off into basins. The other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They all responded again, quote, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey, unquote. Then Moses sprinkled the blood from the basins over the people and said, quote, this blood confirms the covenant the Lord has made with you in giving you these laws, unquote. Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the leaders of Israel went up the mountain. King James Version, verse 10. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness.
Okay, go ahead. End the commentary.
Translation, verse 10. There they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet there seemed to be a pavement of brilliant sapphire as clear as the heavens. King James Version, verse 11. and upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. Translation, verses 11 through 14. And though Israel's leaders saw God, he did not destroy them. In fact, they shared a meal together in God's presence! And the Lord said to Moses, quote, Come up to me on the mountain. Stay there while I give you the tables of stone that I have inscribed with my instructions and commands. Then you will teach the people from them. Unquote. So Moses and his assistant, Joshua, climbed up the mountain of God. Moses told the other leaders, quote, Stay here and wait for us until we come back. If there are any problems while I am gone, consult with Aaron and Hur, who are here with you. Unquote. King James Version, verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Translation, verse 15 through 18. Then Moses went up the mountain, and the cloud covered it. And the glorious presence of the Lord rested upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from the cloud. The Israelites at the foot of the mountain saw an awesome sight. The awesome glory of the Lord on the mountaintop looked like a devouring fire. Then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. He stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 24 of Exodus, and now we'll do some commentary.
24, verse 4 through 6. Quote, Then Moses carefully wrote down all the Lord's instructions. Early the next morning, he built an altar at the foot of the mount. He also set up 12 pillars around the altar, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent some of the young men to sacrifice young bulls as burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half the blood from these animals and drew it off into basins. The other half he splashed against the altar. Unquote. The sealing of the covenant was completed. Moses acted as mediator between God and the people. The dividing of the blood pointed to a twofold aspect of the covenant. Blood splashed on the altar demonstrated God's gracious, powerful forgiveness in accepting the offering, that is, the blood. Blood sprinkled on the people bound them to God.
Just as the blood of Jesus, it's all symbolic of the blood of Jesus. So when people are reading these ordinances, they say, oh, that's Old Testament, but they don't realize the beauty of it, how that it all is significant, signifies, or is a type or figure or symbol of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And the way that we are to walk. But we don't have to go through... everything now is spiritual. All right, then what else?
24, verse 4. The 12 pillars, or, quote, standing stones, unquote, represented the 12 tribes of Israel with whom God was making the covenant.
Right, he only had covenant with Israel, and he only has covenant with Israel today. Spiritual Israel. No, sinners have no covenant with the Lord except death and hell and the lake of fire. That's the way it is. And what?
24:9-11. Quote, then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the leaders of Israel went up the mountain. There they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet there seemed to be a pavement of brilliant sapphire, as clear as the heavens. And though Israel's leaders saw God, he did not destroy them. In fact, they shared a meal together in God's presence.
You hear people today say, no one's ever seen God. I saw him. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the Bible says that no one can see God and live. You know what that means? That means you can't live the life you're living now and see God. You have to die out to this old life of yours, and then you can see him. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, if he reveals himself unto you, and you can see his word, you can understand it. But if you sin, you will not be able to understand his word. You can't understand the reasoning of it. You can't understand the reason of heaven or hell or life or death. You just can't understand anything. But these people saw God. The Hebrew children saw him in the fiery furnace. Amen?
Amen.
And so did those ungodly people that were there. A lot of people have seen Jesus. Moses saw him in a burning bush as well and talked to him face to face. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, I saw the Lord, and many other people in the Bible have too. Okay, then what else?
The chief leaders were allowed to see only God's footstool, a worship experience allowing them to have intimate contact, even as Moses had. This would solidify their leadership. 24, verse 11. They survived the ordained intimate experience. Look at chapter 19, verse 21. Quote, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord, to gaze, and many of them perish, unquote. The worship was sealed by covenant meal.
Right, this intimate experience was that they saw the Lord. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen and the most memorable thing I've ever seen in my life. And there's all the rest of the good things that happened in my life are like nothing in comparison to seeing him just that once. And the next is to hear his voice, to hear him talking, and for signs and wonders and dreams and visions from him. I love all that. Then what?
24, verse 12, quote, and the Lord said to Moses, quote, come up to me on the mountain. Stay there while I give you the tables of stone that I have inscribed with my instructions and commands. Then you will teach the people from them, unquote. Traditionally, tablets of stone are thought to have contained the Ten Commandments. But this is not clearly stated. If so, this is chronologically before chapter 20. 24, verse 1 through 8.
They were two tables of stone, but it explains it later on, okay, throughout the Bible. And they were put in the Ark of the Covenant. Then what else?
24, verse 1 through 8.
Okay. Yeah, don't read that. The congregation can read that. Or the hearer of this tape can read that for themselves. We've already been through it. Then what?
Although Israel's response to God's covenant was the same as before, seen chapter 19, verse 8, they were not beginning to, quote, count the cost, unquote, of their commitment to God. Exodus 19, verse 8, quote, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord.
But they didn't do it. Okay. Just like people say, yes, Lord, today, and then they don't do it. Okay, but we have to do it. It's not a matter of will we or won't we. You have to do it. We have to. Amen?
Amen.
So do or die. Sink or swim. Okay, what else?
At this point, they were called upon to make sacrifices to God. And as they heard the cries of the animals being slaughtered and saw the sacrificial blood being splashed against the altar, surely they must have been reminded of how costly their redemption from Egypt had been. It was a clear reminder of God's powerful forgiveness. Some people call it gracious forgiveness, for God allowed these animals to die as payment for the people's sins, the infractions of the law. We should mourn and feel this gratitude as we think of Jesus, the living God in a human body, on a cross, and realize that we are the ones who put him there, and that we are the ones who should have been put there instead of him.
When I say sink or swim, I remember the time I did not know how to swim, but I was thrown into a swimming pool on the deep end by a bunch of men that they were older than I. I was only about 13 years old, and I was sort of a skinny kid back then, and there was big boys that were in there 18, 19, and 20, 21 years old that dove in after me and started pushing me down. They were actually literally trying to drown me. And I could see him under the water, and my lungs were bursting for air. And I knew I had to either, I couldn't just let him drown me. So I swam under, I went down further than they were pushing me, and then I swam out of there. And I didn't know how to swim, but I was beating my arms and my legs as for survival, just to survive. And Paul stated that he beat his body black and blue. This is in the Hellenic Greek. That he did everything in his power to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And I made it over to the edge of that swimming pool. I got out and got away. And I'm still here to tell about it to this very day. I learned how to swim that day. You just beat and kick. Amen?
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 24, the book of Exodus. And we'll be doing 25 later on, God willing, Lord willing, this evening. Till then, keep your mind on the Lord. Meditate. Just think of him all the time. Think of the Lord. Use your brain to think of the Lord and what he says here. Because these are the things that we have to be reminded. They're all symbolic of what we're supposed to do today. And praise the Lord. God bless you.